The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, March 25th, 2018, broadcasting live from the studios of WGBB 1240 AM and 95.9 FM here in our lovely new studios in Merrick, New York. Gary Harding, John Panarese, and John Sweeney with you for the next 2 hours tonight. We will have three guests on the show this evening. Our first guest will be on in a few minutes, who is Andrew Gross, who is now the new Islander beat writer for Newsday. Will give us his take, especially from an outsider's perspective, since he's only been covering the team for a couple of weeks, on the debacle situation. At 9 o'clock, we will have Randy Gorman from one of our Western Canadian scout friends, who will be talking about the NHL draft. And obviously now the way things are going, being into some higher picks, there is some interesting names that are popping up. And he'll give us the scoop on that. And at 9:30, we will have the sponsor of my portion of Sports Talk 1240, Dr. Stephen Brook from Country Foot Care in Mineola, who is an ardent Met fan, who will give his take on the preseason ending and the start of the 2018 season on Thursday, March the 29th.
Let's go Mets.
Can you imagine baseball in March?
Yeah, who would think that?
Yeah, well.
Big, huge snowstorm the other day, then here comes the Mets.
But that's it's supposed to be 60 degrees, actually, on
Thursday.
Let's
do it.
So that's not bad. Thursday sunshine will be good.
I love that.
It's going to get warm because I'm leaving.
You're going on vacation. That's right. Who cares about that?
Johnny's going away for two days? I'm only kidding around. Yeah. Johnny's going away for a nice vacation, nice and relaxing vacation, and the New York Islanders are going to go on vacation very soon.
After April 7th, unfortunately.
That's right.
And I might jump off my roof.
Well, like I said, you know, I went to the game last night. It will be my last Islander game of the season. I started off the year live 6-0. I ended up 6-4.
Was it the jersey? That's the reason why? That ugly fisherman jersey that you wear? Is that the reason why?
Well, I only wore it to one game and they didn't win, so, yeah, whatever.
But it was good luck, though. It was good luck for six of them, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyhow, on next Saturday, I will be at Citi Field at game number 2.
There you go.
Seeing Jacob DeGrom hopefully get a win.
Yes.
And we'll just turn our attention there. But like I said, we got Andrew Gross coming on in a couple of minutes. And again, it was tough. It was tough actually watching that game live last night.
The team just gave up yesterday. They play. Halak didn't play bad, like you said.
Halak played a decent game. I mean, the second goal, like I said, it was stuck on the back of, you know, it just banged off the back of his skate. You know, 99 times out of 100, he's going to be able to spot that. You know, it's just one of those fluky things.
It typifies the Islanders' season.
Yeah, I mean, the first goal, Patrick Kane's goal, nobody would have stopped.
No.
So, I mean, you give him credit. And the third was a fluky, you know, pop fly into center field that just rolled into the net, you know. At times they were pounding. I mean, I think they played their hardest in the last 6 or 7 minutes of the game, and you sit and you wonder, where were they the first 53?
Look at the Tampa game. They were down, they came back.
The third period, if they played every game like they did the third period in a Tampa game,
yep,
it would be a much different season.
Exactly. But, you know, I mean, some people told us, you know, the Islanders are only going to get 80 points, and looks at things, they may not even get to 80 at this point. So
I think, what is it, 7 games left, right?
There's 7 games left. They are still technically, mathematically in. I think the tragic number is 1. So 1 point lost or 1 point gotten by somebody else, and I think it's over, Johnny. Mm. So we have our guest on the line. Our guest is Andrew Gross, who is the new Islander beat writer for Newsday. Andrew, it's Gary, John, and John here on Sports Talk 1240. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, and it was a pleasure meeting you the other night.
Yeah, and yesterday, unfortunately, not under the greatest of circumstances, but for the first couple of minutes, Andrew, why don't you just give us the little 120-second story of your career and how you got to be now covering the Islanders for Newsday.
Yeah, I was covering the Devils for the Record in Bergen County, New Jersey, or North Jersey. And before that, I had covered the Rangers for both the Record and for the Journal News in Westchester. So I've been around the rinks, really, since 2003. And I like to think of myself as joining, you know, the Beezer and P.A. Parenteau and all the other guys who got to play for all three teams. So,
yeah, that's true. That's a very distinct honor.
Yeah. So, no, it was, you know, it was a great opportunity for me to join Newsday. You know, it's a bigger paper than The Record. It's got a, you know, a little bit better of a reputation, you know, a little bit more resources. And, you know, the Islanders are the number one beat there. So, you know, that was very enticing as well.
So just coming into following this team, you've come in at a not-so-good time of the season. What are some of the thoughts that you have, watching this team over the last few weeks? If you were here back in October and November when they were playing well, you would obviously have a greater comparison. But what are some of your thoughts right now?
Well, you know what, even though I was covering the Devils, you know, if you're a beat reporter, you do, you know, keep an eye out on the rest of the league. And, you know, even when the Islanders were playing well, you know, they still had trouble stopping the puck, right? Their forward group is very, very skilled, and they, you know, they can get a lot of offensive production. But, you know, when you're giving up 50 shots a game or 6 goals a game, this is going to be the result regardless of how you start a season. So, you know, I know they went through some injuries, but you know what? Every team in the NHL goes through injuries. They're a little thinner, you know, on the back end, and certainly in net, they haven't gotten the production in net that, you know, a playoff team would need. So I think the signs were there, you know, even through the good start in October and November.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're the worst for shots against, we're the worst for goals against. And to me, that comes back down to our offense is fantastic, but I think it's more of the coaching situation. Doug Waite's not really more on the defensive end, or Richardson is, than they should be. And that's the reason why I think, and plus the talent, they don't have the talent right now, I guess. I don't know what happened to this team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would probably point to the talent level. Or I shouldn't say it like that. I would point to the depth of talent on the back end.
Because of the young guys.
Certainly on another team, I would not think Johnny Boychuk and Nick Leddy would be a top pair. And that's nothing, you know, taking away from those guys. It's just about slotting guys into positions where they can be most effective. Unfortunately, the Islanders, you know, I think at this point in the season, you start looking at what you can take away as positives and what might be better for next season. And I think the way Ryan Pulock has developed over the second half here, that bodes well for the defense corps because you always knew that guy would be able to produce offensively. It's the fact that he's tightened up his defense. He's stouter defensively. Now that allows him to play more minutes and allows him to play consistently and not come out of the lineup. And, you know, Tomasecki is a pretty good partner for him, compliments him well. Thomas is such a smart hockey player, so I think that's helped Pulak's development as well. You kind of hope that Pulak is able to develop into a guy that you can put on a top pair at some point. He's not there yet, but that's what this team needs is they need top four or a lot more top four talent amongst their defense corps. And you know, you gotta really evaluate whether Christopher Gibson is the guy that can help you out moving forward, stopping the puck. I would assume Yaroslav Halak does not come back next season. He's a free agent. I think you know what he is. And,
right.
You know, I think you've
right.
gone as far as you can with this guy. Thomas Greiss is signed, you know, for however many more
with
seasons.
Two more.
But
I don't
really see him as a number one goalie. So you really got to hope that Christopher Gibson gets some consistency in his game and compete to give you maybe, you know, 40 starts in the season.
Go ahead.
Wouldn't you think that you, like Waite should be using Gibson now the rest of the year to make him the number two and go out and get a number one next year and see what you got with Gibson now? Because Gibson's a free – he's done at the end of the year as well.
Well, yeah, he's a Group 6 UFA.
Right.
I, you know, Dougie is – Dougie is given, you know, I know Halak started the other day, and, you know, that is kind of a mental reset for Christopher Gibson after he gives up six goals on 24 shots to the Lightning. You know, it's not throwing him back out to the Wolves the next day, you know, allowing him to just kind of step back, you know, maybe get some extra work in practice, some extra video work. You know he's playing one of the next two, but he probably is not going to play back-to-back here against the Panthers Monday night at Barclays and then Tuesday up in Ottawa. So he's going to get one of those starts, but, you know, and he probably won't start the back-to-back Friday and Saturday. So, you know, figure he gets two starts there. You know, if he gets, what, they got seven left, I would think minimum he should get four of those starts, and, you know, maybe he can get five of the starts, just, you know, give Halak two of the games on the back-to-backs. I mean, that's kind of how I would do it. But you know what? Christopher Gibson also has to show that he can be in there. And if he's getting pulled because he's giving up six goals on 24 shots, then it's very difficult for the coaching staff to, you know, kind of throw him back out there. Although I understand the evaluation part. You want to see how he bounces back, right?
Right.
Absolutely. So, Andrew, being that you're in the locker room, I mean, obviously, you know, with a team struggling the way they are right now, obviously it's not all, you know, singing kumbaya and everything. But, I mean, how have the guys – I mean, obviously, you know, losses are going to hurt a guy and they're going to take it hard. But, I mean, I know I've been in the locker room in years in the past when I was blogging for the team, and I know – you know, that they put a good face on, and a lot of guys do, and, you know, they try to put their best foot forward. I assume this version of the Islanders are doing the same thing?
Yeah, and you know what? I think I would say 75% of the guys in the room mean what they say at this point, too, that, you know, you're playing for pride and, you know, you want to finish strong, and, yeah, they're, you know, essentially, you know, not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs yet, although that, you know, that could happen either Monday.
The tragic number's one, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point, they have to completely win out, and they have to have the Devils lose every single game in overtime.
Yeah, that's it. Good point.
That's not happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, for the most part, those guys, you know, they talk about pride. They talk about being a professional. Matthew Barzal keeps going back to the, you know, this is a big boy league and you have to wear your big boy pants. And, you know, like I said, I think most of the guys in there, you know, do believe that and are still working hard. It's human nature that some guys are going to be checked out at this point of the season, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not going to go through the roster and say this guy's in, this guy's out. But I would say 75% of that room is still, you know, pretty engaged in what's going on right now. And to be honest with you, where they are, that's not a bad number.
Right.
It's just amazing to me how Tavares is 77. Is like with Bailey's a point away from 70. They have
69. Right.
And these guys, Lee's what, 38 goals now? I mean, they're having a phenomenal offensive year. It's like incredible what they're doing. It's just that they just need that defense and the goal. But I want to ask you, can I ask you the $10,000 question that everybody wants to know?
$10,000 doesn't get you.
Yeah, all right. Let's do the million dollar question.
How about a $10 million
okay,
question?
Okay, here we go. You're right. But figure of speech. But the is JT staying with the team?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, and I can't purport to know JT very well. You know, I've interviewed him in the past covering the other teams, and I've been in the room about a week now, but he's kind of a difficult guy to get to know. You know, he understands, you know, he's good with the media. He, you know, he comes out and he talks, but, you know, to get to know him, I haven't gotten there yet. So I can only put myself in his shoes. So I'll go with the speculation that way. You know, I personally don't see it just because, you know, he's 27. You know, he's looking to be locked up for, what, 8 years, you know, 7 years somewhere else. And, you know, this franchise is still 3 years away from real stability in terms of getting an arena for itself. And has Garth Snow proved that he can improve the defense? Can he improve the goaltending? I would think the Islanders would have to present him with a very, very, very detailed plan of where they're going and how they're going to get there, you know, to convince Tavares that there's a real future here. Having said that, I mean, you know, there's not going to be a ton of teams. You know, I know he's, you know, perhaps the best guy to ever get out into NHL free agency, but, you know, how many teams can really offer 10, 10.5, 11 million a year or whatever it's going to take to sign him?
Right.
Then you also look at JT's personality, which is, you know, whenever someone brings up Toronto or Montreal or one of those, you know, highly scrutinized Canadian teams, I don't see JT's personality fitting into that kind of situation. Yeah. You know, if you tell me he can go to San Jose, you know, where there's one reporter covering the team like there was, you know, basically here before, you know, Arthur went to the Athletic and I came to Newsday. You know, I think those are the types of situations that JT prefers. So, you know, I don't think there's a ton of teams that really fit the criteria of what Tavares is looking for. And I do think the Islanders are one of the teams. I kind of feel like at this point he hasn't signed. What does it hurt him? What does it hurt him and, you know, Pat Brisson, his agent, to get to July 1st and to see what offers are out there? And that doesn't preclude him from coming back to the Islanders. But, you know, I think once you get to July 1st, it's probably 50-50 at best.
Well, thank you. That was actually pretty good. You answered my question, actually. It was pretty good.
Yeah, and if that keeps him quiet for the rest of the night, Andrew, you did a great job, I'm telling you.
Well, yeah, I was on another show about a week ago, and they asked me the same question, and I sort of gave the same answer, and it was, you know, I felt like I had just, like, you know, kind of blown up everyone's lives, you know.
Well, you know,
I was like, I know how badly Islander fans feel that, you know, John Tavares needs to stay here, and I get that, you know. You know, I'll ask this question. You know, having John Tavares, how far has that gotten the franchise? You know, and it's not, and by saying that, it's not John Tavares' fault at all. You know, he did absolutely everything that was asked of him
and more.
Yeah, I mean, he's fifth all time on points now, right now, right?
Yeah, but
the organization,
ownership, management, coaching on down has never proven that they can build a winning team around this generational talent that they were able to draft. And, you know, they're in last place with him. You know, they can finish in last place without him, too.
I
sort of feel like if JT does leave, you know, Matthew Barzell is here. You know, he's going to develop into a number one center at some point. So, you know, I'm not saying that John Tavares' departure wouldn't be, you know, really devastating to this franchise. But, you know, 2-3 years down the road, you know, Barzell is going to be at the consistent level that that John Tavares is.
Well, talking about the general manager position, I mean, obviously, you know, we're gonna after you're on our next segment, the three of us are all gonna give our little rants and stuff. But looking at it from a distance, do you think that Garth may have had some kind of like a Teflon situation that he's just nothing has stuck? I mean, being that he's been here for 12 years?
Well, I mean, you know.
Wait a minute, hold on. I think I just shocked my two co-hosts here. They're looking at me like I got four heads. Sorry.
Well, no. I mean, like, obviously he had a very tight relationship with Charles Long. And, you know, that was Charles Wong's guy. I think the question now is Garth Snow Ledecky and Malkin's guy? And, you know, the ownership has kind of stopped talking lately, and so is Garth, for that matter. So it's kind of hard to get answers out of them.
Well, I think we haven't seen Ledecky around, and I know probably one of the reasons, and it usually is that usually when his niece is swimming in the NCAA Nationals or she's in world competition, he's usually there. I will say that.
Okay.
I mean, that's a definite thing. I know he is, you know, probably her biggest fan. So,
yeah.
You know, I give him kudos for that, following her career and stuff. So, you know.
Well, what I'm saying is Ledecky is not talking right now as to whether, you know, Garth is his guy or not.
Correct.
You know, so it's, you know, regardless of what the fans think, what I think, what you think, it's going to come down to, you know, is Garth fulfilling the mandate that Ledecky and Malkin have? And if he is, he's going to keep his job. And, you know, and...
Would you like me to answer that question right now for you? It's a big NO in my eyes.
You know what? I mean, a lot of general managers have had better teams and still lost their jobs, right? I mean...
Well, look at Lombardi. You know, Lombardi, yeah, and the Kings. He won two cups in 12 years, and they fired him.
Jim Rutherford...
Right.
You know, was,
yeah,
in Carolina. Carolina got fired. Now he's won a cup in Pittsburgh.
He's won three.
you know, and I mean, and I've also answered it this way: is, you know, I was covering the Rangers when the fan base was losing their collective mind over Glenn Sather, and you know, things turned around there. But you know, there were outside circumstances there, namely a lockout, which put a rein on Glenn's crazy spending there. And, you know, he had to, and he also, you know, finally hired good assistant GMs and, you know, got a good support staff and got focused the right direction. Garth needs this, you know, if he's going to continue, you know, Garth was put in such a tough position because he was not trained for this job. And now it's been, what, 12 seasons of on-the-job training, and the jury's still out. You know, but again, I know he was Wong's guy, and for all I know, he could also be Ledecky and Malkin's guy. And if he is, then nothing the fans are going to do is going to change that.
Right.
I totally agree. Well, listen, Andrew, we appreciate you coming on with us. And again, anybody that's not following you should be definitely following you on Twitter. I don't remember the Twitter handle. Can you just give it to me again off the top of your...
It is now A Gross Newsday.
A Gross Newsday. That's it. But yes,
reflecting my new position.
Well, listen, we wish you the best of luck. I know we'll be hopefully talking along the way.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Have a good
night. Congratulations again.
Thank you. All right. Have a good one.
All right. Take care. Okay. That was Andrew Gross of Newsday. Whoops. I think I did that. Sorry. Pretty interesting insight, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a little different than what we've been hearing.
Well, I'm very proud of you guys.
Well, I think, you know what, because it's an outside, I think we're getting it because he's been on the outside looking in, as opposed to...
Well, he covered the Devils. The Devils were horrible for a while.
Do you mean I shocked you?
Major delayed reaction right now.
Well,
but I will say this, though. I am. No, Gary, seriously, I am. You impressed me right there. That was very good. Well, you're stepping up to my...
What we're going to do is we'll pay a little bills right now, and then when we come back, this is what we were talking about this before we came on the air. The next segment, each one of us is going to have the mic for about 5 or 6 minutes to basically give their views on whatever. You know, it's just, you know, the world according to John Sweeney, the world according to John Panarese, and the world according to me. And you're going to get an interesting flavor of what we are thinking about. It doesn't necessarily have to be Islanders. It could be anything. Okay? I just saw a thing at Dominican Sue, and the Jets are not going to pursue him now, which is
That's good. A good thing.
That's a very good thing. Okay? You know, we got the baseball season opening up in a couple of days. We're all eternally optimistic that we're going to win 100 games, have a great pitching staff, and Cespedes is going to hit 92 home runs. Okay? So, you know, and then we'll see about what we're thinking about come July 1 and what happens with our hockey team and all this other stuff. So we're really going to let it all hang out. Does that sound good to you guys?
That's very good.
All right. So listen, let's go pay a couple of bills. And when we come back, it's Soapbox time on Sports Talk 1240 WGBB. Let's get it on, brother.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrist of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on SportsTalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to SportsTalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Okay, back on Sports Talk 1240. WGBB, Gary, John, and John with you. And for the next half hour, until we get our guest, Randy Gorman from FC Scouting, coming on at 9 o'clock, we are going to basically get up on our soapboxes and do a little rant. You know, we usually don't get to do really this. You know, we have the conversations between the three of us. But I think this is about time that we just let everybody, let it all hang out. John has his boxing gloves on, right?
Yeah, I guess.
You do. Yeah. You're ready to rumble.
I'm ready to rock and roll a little bit. But
this guy's ready for vacation. He doesn't really.
John Panarese is going on. Gonna be,
he doesn't care.
John Panarese is going to be laying on the beach. Is your girlfriend going?
Yes.
He's going on a cruise, right?
He's going on a cruise.
He's going to be eating, relaxing, taking it easy. The sun on his face. He's going to be like, "Who's better than him?" Me and you are going to be suffering here in Long Island with this, especially with this team, and hoping that the Mets start off the right way.
Well, that's all right. I'll do the same thing to you guys in May when I go on my Hawaii.
Yeah, when
vacation.
You're in Hawaii.
You're going to Hawaii, right?
Yeah,
that's
right.
A big one. That's a big one.
Big one. Yep. All right. So, who wants to go first? Which one of you two? I'm going last.
Okay, John, you want to
hit it? I'll go first.
All right. All right. The gospel according to John Panarese.
All right. Let's start.
You're on.
Let's start with the Islanders, okay, because that's our topic at hand.
All right. Primary focus. Go.
Number one, my I guess if there's an overall word that defines how I'm feeling as a fan, disappointed. Let's you know, if you look back in October, and I remember coming on this show, and I remember we were talking about how great they were playing, and we were talking about how certain people were saying, "Oh, they're only going to have 80 points." They're, you know, that's crazy. How could you even think that? This team's easily going to have 100 points. Well, here we are, end of March, 7 games to go, and we'll be lucky if we hit 80 points, in my opinion. And you know, I think you can debate till the cows come home what caused what and why it happened. And you know, this is my hobby gig. You know, as I've said to Gary privately, you know, I run a business. My main focus in my world is making a living and being able to pay my bills. So hockey, baseball, whatever, it's a hobby. So I don't get as passionate as I used to. Maybe when I was in my teens and 20s, this would have killed me. I probably would have been in the hospital by now with this team. I can only kind of stand back and just in wonderment. And I guess I look at this team as far as the offense goes, and JT and Barzal having, you know, probably going to have 80-plus points, and, you know, Bailey's going to hit the 70 mark. I mean, we could have conceivably five or six guys on the offense with 60-plus points if Eberle can hit that 60 mark also. You know, you got Letty and Pulock who can, you know, who probably going to have 10-plus goals on the back line. I mean, you look at this team offensively, what are we, third? I think second or third in the NHL in overall goal scoring, and conceivably, how are we where we are now? How could we be not making the playoffs? And it comes down to, in my opinion, is just the defense, whether it's injuries, you know, DeHaan going out, Boychuk being gone for a while, Mayfield being out. You know, you can make up, you know, you can come up whatever reasons. And, yes, everything is a contributing factor, but every NHL team during the course of a season has to deal with injuries. And there have been teams that have had hundreds and hundreds of man games lost to injury and still managed to make the playoffs and go far in the playoffs with those rosters, you know, pretty much a revolving door. So I can't even say that the injuries are 100% the reason. So I guess I'm of two minds here. I really do like Doug Weight as a person, as a player. I have a lot of respect for him. He's been on this show with us in the past prior to being a coach. But I really have to question if this has a lot to do with the system that's in play, whether he's lost the team to some degree. I don't see this team having the sense of urgency and desperation for a long time now that a team in their position should have. And does that come down to coaching? In my opinion, as being a hockey fan for as long as I have been, I have to think that the coaching has a lot to do with it. Is that going to be the immediate answer to get a new coach in here? I don't know. Is it part of the makeup of the team? Is it some of the chemistry? Is it some of these guys? It's a country club atmosphere, and there's really no fear of reprisals. I don't know. But I just think that there's got to be some changes in this organization in the offseason. You know, no, it's no secret that Gary and I, you know, we've had Gart Snow on this broadcast in the past more than a few times. I like Gart Snow. I'm not abandoning him as other Islander fans and that ridiculous banner. But I think in terms of his position, his situation, I'm not going to be surprised if he doesn't have a job, at least as a general manager, next season. You know, he's probably going to remain with the organization, if anything. But again, you know, is that the answer? I don't know. This team is an enigma to me. It's you know, as Gary said, it's like being, you know, being a Met fan, being a Jet fan. It's like all these teams have this commonality. You can't figure out what the heck is wrong with them. And it's just when you think things are going, you know, starting to move in a positive direction. I mean, you know, burst the scene, you know, Matthew Barzal. This kid is amazing. But again, we're not going to make the playoffs. You know, and of course, then you got the cloud of JT over our heads. Is he coming back next season? You know, I'd like to think that he is. I mean, the one factor that I keep hearing some people saying, if he was planning on leaving, I think Snow would have traded him before the deadline if they absolutely were certain. If he had come to Ledecky or Snow and said, I'm not going to come back next season, I doubt very much they would have held on to him just for the sake of holding on to him. So there is sort of this belief or this philosophy that, well, he may have said something to the owners that, you know, we'll work this out when the season's over, but, you know, I want to stay. But at the same token, from the fans' perspective, why would you want to stay at this point? I mean, I hate to say it that way, but you look at where this team is right now, why would you want to stay next season? So, I don't know. I just, honestly, at this point, I want the season to be done. I'm glad I'm going away for the next 2 weeks, and I don't have to kind of be around while this sort of unwinds. And I'm going to do my best to enjoy the NHL playoffs and you know, who will emerge to hoist the cup in June. So I just hope that whatever happens this summer, it's going to be a complete 180-degree change. And from a fan's perspective, I think, unfortunately, that is going to require more than a few changes in the front office. I hate to say that, but I think it's kind of at that point where if I was John Ledecky and Scott Malkin, I would really have to consider that to be an option. So there's my take on the Islanders.
Anything else you want to add?
Well, for the Mets,
you got the floor.
The Mets, I'm hopeful. Am I convinced that they're going to be a great team? I don't know. I'm not comfortable with the position players that they have. I think they're using the same formula of home run, home run, home run. I would have liked to have seen them get some table setters in this lineup, and I guess maybe that's just the Major League Baseball philosophy now, that a lot of teams are going to the long ball as the solution for, you know, scoring runs. But that's the only area of the Mets. Obviously, the health issues, but if they stay healthy and they've got the rotation that can certainly, you know, win games. And I guess the other part of the equation from spring training perspective is the relief pitching. A lot of these times, you know, you've had these great outings by Harvey and DeGrom and Syndergaard, and what's happened? They've blown the games in the sixth and seventh innings, and not even like a little bit. I'm talking serious runs, you know, like games where they were winning like 4-1, 4-0, they lose 12-6 because of the relief pitching. So that's my concerns is, are they going to be able to sustainably score runs, enough runs as the season goes by, and can the relief pitching, if teams can survive getting past their starters the first 5 or 6 innings, they have a shot at beating the Mets based on what I'm seeing in spring training. So, but I would, if I wanted to go out on a limb right now, I expect nothing less than at least 90 wins from this team this season. But we'll see.
Okay. And by the way, just so you know, Hanser Robles did get sent down to Triple A.
Yes,
we're happy about that.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Good job, John.
John, very good job.
Okay, you can go off on vacation now. You can leave the studio.
John, enjoy. Get you a little bathing suit ready to rock and roll and start heading out.
Yeah, he's not telling us he's got a Speedo, thank God.
Okay.
I know. All right. Mr. Sweeney?
I want to start things off with the NFL, if I could say for a minute.
Don't worry, man. Yeah. It's your time.
I want to talk about my New York Jets. And I want to talk about this trade that they just made to move up and give up, move 3 spots up, give up a bunch of second-round picks in the draft. And if they go out and they get who everyone's predicting, the Josh Rosen, who actually had 2 concussions in college, and I don't need another Chad Pennington on my team again. He is good. He's got a strong arm, but there are some young kids out there. And you're laughing, Gary, but it's the truth. They're all better.
Being
we know. Why not make that trade and do what you did and move up to 1 with Cleveland, offer a little more, and go get Cleveland and get the guy you want, Sam Darnold out of USC. He's in the best quarterback on this whole thing. That guy Josh Allen could throw the ball 80 yards. He just came into a small school, and during the game, he just doesn't have it. I'm just curious to see what Cleveland's got to take a quarterback because they have 1-4. We're 3. Giants? You're going to probably grab a quarterback for the future. If not, you get Barkley, the running back, or you could take the offensive guard out of Notre Dame. He's supposed to be a once-in-a-10-year player. Jets, wake up. You should have stuck with that pick instead of trading up or moved to the back of the draft and took somebody out of Louisville, one of those other quarterbacks out there that is going to be just as good. But we'll see what happens. Rosen, I'm not going to be upset about, terribly upset about, but he did have concussions in college. And he was injured a few times. I mean, he is quarterback ready, but I just don't want him. I'd rather have Sam the man at helm. And that's the thing with the Jets, and I'm glad Dominic Sue did not come our way, even though the Jets offered more money than anybody else. Go now, let's go over to the Mets, okay? The Mets, I am actually one of the guys probably here that is actually happy what they did in the offseason, and I'm pretty good. I think everybody's back healthy. I like the new manager. Yeah, you guys agree?
Yeah, I like it.
He did a good job. Callaway did a great job, actually. Great job with Cleveland, at the pitching staff in Cleveland, and I think he's going to do the same this year. Noah's not squatting 500 pounds anymore. You got to get Harvey on tack. And look, bottom line is, if we stay healthy, we have the best pitching staff in baseball. And the bats will come. We got Frazier. I mean, I think we did a good job. I think we're going to be very competitive this year. As long as we stay healthy, that's a big question with every sport all time, staying healthy.
You're not worried about the bullpen?
I'm not worried about the bullpen as much as you guys are worried about the bullpen as much. But I think our starting staff is fine.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't. I agree.
We'll see what happens. Now can I get to my last but not least? And I think that I really do think getting back to the Mets real quick. I really do think the Mets are definitely making the playoffs this year. I really do. But I want to talk about the team that I've loved since I was a little kid, and the New York Islanders. And one of my favorite players of all time now is John Tavares. And if you're listening to this, JT, or any Islanders out there, any fans out there, I want you to stay. And I know from my heart I want you to stay, but I know in my realistically looking, if I was you, and if the Islanders don't offer you what you want, 10 million, 11 million, you're going to leave. And I don't blame you, because you're not, the Islanders are 3 years away from winning anything, maybe four, the way they're going. And, you know, the owners took over this team, and they said right off the bat, we're going to have a five-year plan. But they stayed here for 2 years and let Wang run, help show them to run the operation for 2 years. And now the five-year plan is coming on what? This is the third year now they have the team now? They're in Brooklyn, second year, one of the lowest attendance still in the league, top four or five lowest attendance in the league. It's not working out, but we are getting Belmont, and we're looking up. But does JT stay to wait, or does JT want to win a cup? 27 years old, ninth year in the league. Does he want to win? Go out to snow. I think you did the best you could do. And I know these guys are fans of yours, and you've been very good to the Booster Club, and you've been very good to this radio station coming on here. And I just think that, I don't know if it's you or it's the owners telling you, hey, let's not go out and give up our future to win now, like Ledecky and Malcolm said from the beginning, we want to win in 5 years. I don't know what the deal is. You go out and get Doug Waite, first-year coach. He was in this staff. Do you go out and get a seasoned veteran coach? You could have got, but you had to pay him. Capuano was one of the lowest-paid coaches on the team in the league the last couple of years, and you fired him. Look, Waite did great last year. They won 7 games in a row. Tavares got hurt. They won 7 in a row. They did fantastic. Just this year, they just didn't have it. They didn't have the right nucleus. This is all really on Doug Waite and Gart Snow for putting this puzzle together. It didn't work out. He gambled. He gambled some of these young kids, which I think are going to be phenomenal. I really do think in 3 or 4 years this team's going to be phenomenal. Do I think JT's going to be here in 3 or 4 years? No, I don't. I don't. I think Barzal's going to be the draw. I think I don't think Josh Bailey's going to be here either. But I do think these Pulak guys and these other guys are going to be fine. But you know, we'll see what happens. I'm very disappointed in what happened this year with the Islanders. I really did think they were going to make the playoffs this year. I thought they were going to bounce back. They missed it by 1 point last year. But are they going to get 80 points this year? They're 8 away with 7 games left? I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it. And Garth, or whoever, Ledecky, whoever you hire, or whatever goes on, if Garth's still here, go out and get a number one goalie next year, please. A number one goalie. And beef up that defense a little bit. Or get a coach that could teach a little better defense. Run a more defensive team. We have the offense. We're the worst team in the league against with shots on and goals against. We're like the fifth or seventh team in that gap area for goals for. I mean, the math just doesn't work out. And on that, I will hand it over to Gary Harding.
You notice I've been staying away from the microphone while you two guys have been on. You left me a lot of time. This is nice. I appreciate it. But anyway, I'm going to go through a couple of things regarding the teams first, and then I'm going to end with something that we really didn't get involved with, that you guys didn't talk about. But I know you'll have a comment or two as I go, and I wish that you would add in. I'm going to talk about similar things to our teams. Again, unfortunately, being the age that I am older than both of you. John Panarese not by much. I don't know about you, and I don't want to go on ages on the air, but growing up in the late 60s and the early 70s following the Mets, and I was one of those kids that constantly read the backs of baseball cards, looking at the statistics, looking at the numbers, reading through everything. I always remember reading Seaver's cards and Kuzma's cards and John Matlack's cards, and you look at the number of innings pitched, and you notice the number of games they played, and you think, wow, Seaver had 40 starts 1 year, 39 starts another year, 38 starts, 275, 280 innings. You look at Sandy, I just read Sandy Koufax's book on Audible, and I'm looking through his stuff, and he had 360-something innings pitched in a year. And that man went out every other day. And look how much they pitched. The thing is, unfortunately, in this day and age, every player wants to be the hardest thrower, or hit the most home runs. Everything is all about power. If you remember, John, you remember watching Seaver and Kuzman pitch in those days?
Yeah.
Okay? They threw hard. They threw in the 90s. You know, they had good stuff. They had great curveballs. But what was the big thing about them? What was the big difference between a pitcher in the 1970s and a pitcher now? They used their entire bodies to pitch a ball. There was never a pitch that Tom Seaver threw that he did not take dirt in his knee.
Same thing with Nolan Ryan.
Exactly.
Nolan Ryan was
exactly. Nolan Ryan could throw 100 miles an hour, but he didn't rely on his biceps and triceps to throw the ball. He used his entire body, the leg kick, the twisting of the hips, everything to get themselves to propel. And that's all the problem in baseball today. That's my biggest peeve in the world is that, yes, these guys work out 12 months a year. And now that Dave Island is now the pitching coach, and Callaway said he is not getting involved. He is letting Dave Island run the show as far as the pitchers are concerned. He's actually said when these guys are throwing warm-ups, he is staying away in a back corner, not watching them, because that's Island's job. That's not Callaway's job. Callaway's job is the whole organization, batters, fielders, pitchers, the works. So he's letting him do his job. And I really think Dave Island and what he did with the Kansas City Royals in those couple of years, they didn't have flamethrowers. You notice. You remember that.
Right.
They had guys that worked all the different speeds, different parts of the plate. They were guys that you could see that were using their quads and their legs to help the pitch. So hopefully, I think getting Dave Island, I think, was probably the biggest factor in that pitching staff. And you notice, it's already worked out. It seems to have worked already. Harvey's done well.
Yes.
Mats is coming back and doing well. DeGrom had two unbelievable outings the last couple of weeks. And Noah's Noah without Noah. Without work, without doing the heavy lifting. So that's a positive. John said 90 wins. I'm gonna stay a little south of it, but not by much. But because I want to go above my expectations. But do I think these guys can make the playoffs? Absolutely. But you know what? We said that about our hockey team this year, and look what happened. So I am looking forward to going to see Jacob pitch on Saturday, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun at Citi Field this year.
Can't wait.
I'm not going to talk much about football. I'm going to change subjects. I am not a big basketball fan. I haven't been since I was a little kid. And I haven't truthfully watched much of the final, the March Madness tournament. But how can you not love the great story of Loyola Chicago? Coming out of nowhere, making the Final Four with their 90-year-old sister being their little luck, good luck charm. Last time they made it this far, Loyola Chicago, they won the NCAA tournament in the year I was born, 1963. So I love those stories. I can watch ESPN Classic and watch those kind of stories 24 hours a day. And I just hope that little engine that could does some damage come next weekend in the playoffs. I think it's going to be a fantastic finish.
I agree with you with that.
Okay, I got some time. Good. This is good. All right. I'm going to talk about the Islanders for a while, but I'm going to do it in a different manner because we've all talked about what the expectations are and what they should do, what they shouldn't do, and what have you. I'm going to stay away from it because I want to get into a different aspect of it. Right now on my computer, I have Wikipedia up, and I put the search in for the word fan. And according to Merriam-Webster and other sources, a fan is derived as a shortened version of the word fanatic. Fanatic itself, introduced into the English language around 1550, means marked by excessive enthusiasm and often intense, uncritical devotion. Comes from the modern Latin word fanaticus, meaning insanely but divinely inspired. I could say all three of us are that way.
Yeah.
And most people that are listening to this show are that way. There are obviously various levels of fandom. We know from various boards, various chat rooms, sports talk shows, people calling in on WFAN and sometimes this show, that there is crazy levels. My father, God rest his soul, when I was a kid, we were at some kind of a function and we were talking with a bunch of people, and some people were talking about the Mets and the Yankees, and some people were talking about something else, and one of the conversations got pretty intense, and this is, I would say, somewhere in the mid-1970s or something like that. And my father said to me that being a fan is what you make it to be. That people may think a different way than you, but the bottom line, if they're a fan of the same thing you are, they want the same result. They want to win. People will just show it differently. And it also brings me back to an interesting story that I think I may have told once on this show, that my parents, my family was really split up between the three baseball teams in the 1950s. My parents were Dodger fans. I had one uncle who was a Yankee fan and the other uncle who was a Giant fan. And my uncle, who was a Giant fan, used to try to go at my mother so bad. And my mother was one of the biggest baseball fans you'd ever want to meet. And one time he really thought he got her when he took a picture of Duke Snider and put it on the toilet paper. Okay? So you could see how a different level of a fan can be. Some people, you know, some people root hard. Some people root against the other person, what have you. And this is where I'm trying to get at. I, for one, I don't say, unlike some people that have criticized me, say I have pom-poms. But I am a glass half full kind of guy. I will always look for the positive. I will always try to look for something to keep, you know, the head above water, if you will. I mean, this season's been tough for me to do that. You know, there's no doubt about it. You know, we had a lot of expectations. Things happened a certain way. Things changed, and somehow, some way, we didn't do what we were going to do. But you look on the boards, and you look at the level, and I say the level of fanaticism that exists right now, okay? We all know it. We've seen it. There are some people that just think that because they follow a team and they've bled so much and suffered so much that they know more than anybody else. There is 20,000 general managers out on Facebook right now on the boards that they think they know better than Garth or anybody else, and I put any of them into that category. It's not just solely just Garth Snow. It's any sports, any manager, it's any coach, it's any whatever. But you know what? That's your level of fanaticism. But does that mean you know what's supposed to be and what's right and what's wrong? Unless you're sitting in the back of that locker room unless in the back of that office with a parabolic mic or a bug, knowing what's going on. You don't know what Garth did. You don't know what Huey talked to. Did he bring up a deal? You know, maybe there was a potential deal going on. We don't know. And unfortunately, they're like poker players. They're not going to show their hand. So, just do me a favor. You could say what you want to say, and I'm never going to tell anybody they can't. But, you know. But it just has to be a little bit of a realism here. So, going back to that comment that I made John roll his eyeballs on. Again, as we've stated on this show for years, I have a personal relationship with Garth Snell. I've gotten to know him over the years. He's helped us with the Booster Club and stuff like that. But that has nothing to do with me as a person. I respect him as a man. I respect the work he's done. But as I said to Andrew Gross, I said, has he been a little Teflon? Because he's been here 12 years. I will, knowing my history and knowing sports and knowing what we know, not many GMs get to live 12 years. without having success, unless you've had success. And again, we all know what Garth's had. He's had playoff runs. He's won one playoff series. That's it. So you know what? It is what it is. Will I be surprised if he's gone? No. Will I be surprised if he's not gone? No. You know, it's John Ledecky's decision. It's Scott Malkin's decision as owners of this organization. And I'm sure they're going to sit down and put all the pluses and minuses on the table and see what the cards bring. Back to JT. As I said to these guys off the air, at the beginning of the season, I put the odds at 90-10 that he would be here. I am now down to 70-30. The only reason I'm at 70 right now is because just knowing the gentleman and knowing his character and knowing the way he is, he has said up and down that he's always wanted to play on one team for his entire career. And what Andrew Gross said kind of made sense in a way, that I couldn't see John Tavares playing for a Montreal Canadian or Toronto Maple Leaf team. He's the type of person that keeps his privacy, wants to be obscure, wants to be out of the limelight. Let his game do his talking. So, as far as I'm concerned, I hope, I pray, and I sincerely hope and sincerely feel that come July 1, number 91 is still going to be in blue and orange, and his name's going to be Tavares on the back of the jersey. I talked a lot, didn't I?
I hope what you said right there about JT saying is true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all do.
We all could do. Coaching staff, I didn't get into that. Again, like Doug White, I think he inherited a team, and he did well with it to start. I think that they need – I think he should get one more year. Has he done a great job? No. Absolutely not. I don't think he's rolled with the punches, made with the changes, did what he had to do. But I think he should – if Chad Capuano had 6 years here, I think Doug White deserves one more. I think he deserves a chance. Cappy got the chance. I don't think Doug did. That's all I'm going to say on that. I still think he has a year to do.
So you think Doug White should stay, have another year because you don't think he had a fair shot this year?
I don't think he said no. Well, again, compare it. Make the comparisons. Capuano had 300 games. Right. Doug White's had 100. I'd give him a chance. His reputation alone deserves a little more. And that's really what I'll leave up to that. I think we're going to go into break. When we come back, we're going to change gears. We're going to talk about the NHL draft coming up. We've got some big names and big prospects coming. Randy Gorman, who is an expert on the NHL draft and scouting the junior leagues, will be joining us from Vancouver, British Columbia, to talk about the draft. And at 9:30, Dr. Stephen Brook will be coming on, our sponsor, talking about the Mets. This is Gary, John, and John on Sports Radio Talk 40. Thanks for sticking along Hour 1. We're going to come back with Hour 2.